You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to worship. We are online as well now on Facebook, so welcome everyone that is listening this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. We're going to begin by singing our first song. So please stand and join us, and we will begin to sing our first worship song, Mighty to Save. Please sing it out. We might be down in number, but we'll sing loud. Please be seated. Welcome to worship. So glad you could join us today. I'm going to go through a few announcements this morning. We have some birthdays. I think we have Ryan Vig today, actually. So happy birthday, Ryan. We have Ted Webster on the 3rd. We have Bill Vig on the 4th. Sue Hillman on the 5th. Olivia Vogley on the 6th. Nova Nordine on the 7th and Greg and Sandy's anniversary. Is that right, Greg and Sandy? How many years? 50. Awesome. Congratulations. Congratulations. This week we have our prayer meeting again at 6:30. We're asking people to come out and pray and for revival, for spiritual awakening, and also just to really pray for healing of our land, of this world. As you all know, the coronavirus has been escalating all over the place, and there's going to come an end to it, and we're just going to hang on to that, and we know that God is sovereign, and he is good all the time, right? Amen. Amen. On Wednesday, there will be confirmation at 3:30. It'll be here at the church. Also, youth group will meet, and they'll be filling the boxes for Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child. So Christy had asked me to announce that if you would love to donate, like to donate, to help fill the boxes, to make sure that you have your donations here before Wednesday, and you could just drop them off in the dining hall, and we'll put them on the tables, just set them anywhere, and the youth group will go through them and fill the boxes and get them out. So thank you for doing that. Also, we have a truck coming, right, of butter braids. I think that's what it's called. It'll be coming to the church on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And we are going to unload outside. And we're going to, the stuff has to go out right away. So we're encouraging you to come and get your stuff as soon as possible. Drop off coolers. Yeah. What's that? With your names on the coolers. Yeah. Drop them off and then we can get that taken care of as quickly as possible and get them distributed. And hopefully it'll be, it was an amazing fundraiser this year. There were orders online and I don't know what the total was, but about $1,300 profit. What a blessing. Thank you for all your hard work and Julie for organizing and kids for selling. I will be having Bible study at 7 o'clock as well, and that'll be here at the church too. Next Sunday morning worship and Sunday school, as usual. We're going to continue on. No good news, I believe, unless we hear differently. I haven't heard anything, so I'll wait until I get a go-ahead with that. So, any other announcements this morning? Lisa? Okay, so he'll be here on the 16th, is that what you said? Or the 18th? The 18th, okay, of November. So please mark that on your calendar and check in with us. If you'd like to learn and be a part of it, that would be the time to do it. Randy McGinnity will be here, and it's exciting, the changes that are going to take place and how much easier it's going to be, and probably a relief to Dan and Lisa. And I think we need to give them a hand because they have gotten us through just incredible times. I know it hasn't been easy, and it's kind of like shooting at a moving target every Sunday, so it's pretty tough. So thank you for that. Also, in the foyer, I did leave Tim and Martha's little message from Split Rock Ministries. It's that time of year where they are raising money again. And instead of me reading this, I just ask you to pick one up and take it with you and read about it, pray about it, if you are to be a part of that ministry financially. And if not, please, please keep them in prayer. These are hard times for them as well. And, but God is using them in amazing ways. Okay, newsletter did not happen, of course, because of situations. But Sherry's going to try her best to get it out next week. So if you do have items for the newsletter, you can you'll still get them in, and she could get it in the newsletter for next week. Okay, anything else? Sandy. Two weeks from today, Operation Christmas Child boxes are due here. Okay. Okay. Okay, awesome. Thank you, Sandy. So 2 weeks from today, make sure your boxes are here, okay? so they can be distributed. What a blessing. For those of you that I disappeared again, didn't I? I'm back. That have not heard, Verna Christensen, Beneke, passed away. And I will be meeting with the family today to plan a service. It's sounding like it might be a private one, whatever the family wishes, and it might be just at the cemetery. But if we will send out a bulletin or a notice by email letting you know so you can at least be in prayer. And if you'd like to send a card to the family, that would be wonderful. So anything this morning, else this morning? A lot of stuff. Okay, I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and we will sing. This would be the time to send in your offerings to your churches, wherever you are listening, and also prayer requests. We would love it if you would send in prayer requests. Let's stand and sing. We're going to sing, Lord, I Need You. Ask Faye to come up and do scripture and prayer for us, please.
I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Okay, I'll take some prayer requests. I know we're going to pray for Curtis Nygaard. He's in the hospital in Bemidji. John, any update? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the love that you have for us, Lord, and that you are there for each one of us to strengthen us, to encourage us, to heal us. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we just pray for the election that's coming up this week. We pray for all those that haven't voted yet, Lord. We just pray that you'll give them wisdom. And also pray for the leaders that will be coming into office, Lord. We just pray that you will be real in their lives, that they'll open their hearts and minds to you. And Lord, I just pray for a unity in our community as well as our nation, Lord, for all the strife that's been going on and all the hatred and frustration, Lord. I just pray that you'll teach us each to be kind to those around us, to love everyone, Lord. And not that they have to all agree with what we think, but just to be kind and show your compassion and love that you have for everyone, Lord. We just thank you for that, Lord, that you've opened our hearts and minds to so much, and I just pray you will continue. Lord, we just pray for all those that are suffering from anxiety and depression, Lord, not only with the COVID that's been going on and the changes of jobs and our society and also the holidays coming up, Lord. Just pray that you'll continue to be so real to everyone, Lord. I pray that they'll draw strength from you, that they'll look to you and help us to reach out to those around us and pray for them and help lift them up also. Lord, we just also pray for Curtis Nygaard, Lord, as he's really struggled also with the COVID, and I just thank you that he's been stable at this point, and I just pray, Lord, that you'll just continue to be with the doctors, be with the family, Lord, and just touch Curtis, Lord, and just encourage Claudia. Lord, we just pray for continued healing for Jim Turson. Just pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen him and just be with the family, as it's so hard to have people in the hospital and nursing home and not be able to visit them, Lord. We just pray for lifting up of them. Lord, we pray for Joel Dunn and the infection that he has. Lord, I just pray for healing. Just pray that you'll bless his time together with his daughter and just continue to guide him. Lord, we just pray for hope, Lord, and just pray for encouragement and open her eyes to what you have for her, Lord, and just give her a peace and understanding, Lord. There's so much in our lives that is hard to understand, but the awesome part about that is that we can come to you and just trust you, Lord, because you are there for us. You are in control, and you love us, Lord, and we just need to surrender that to you. Lord, we just praise you for all those that have suffered with the COVID and that are healed, and we just pray that you'll continue to be with those that are ill and the families that have also suffered, lost ones, and just pray that you'll continue to guide us. And just pray also for Galen's message today. Pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Faye. If I have the praise team come up, we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to go into our time of communion. So, endless hallelujah. Please stand. Endless hallelujah.
Oh, just thank you for this day. And we just thank you that we can come before you, Lord, as we are. And you love us, you care for us, and just help us to lay our burdens down before you, Lord. And we just ask you to be with Galen and the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated. We are going to go into our time of communion, so I would invite you, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, to please share in communion with us this morning. I will prepare the table, and I'm going to ask you again to come up. We'll start with this side and start with the front row and just work our way to the back, and we'll come up and take the elements. Once you get it, just hang on to it, and then we will share in communion together. So I'm going to ask Lisa to play some songs and or a song for us.
Remember you. Friendship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. We respond to your invitation. We remember you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we examine ourselves as you ask us to. Lord, we ask, Lord, if there's anything in us, God, that we don't see, God, that is offensive to you in any way, that you would just reveal that to us, make it aware of us, and forgive us, Lord. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you for the work that he has done already, that he continues to do, and we look forward, God, to that day when we will sing an endless hallelujah to you, Lord. And so, Father, we remember today the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we read the words that we are told in 1 Corinthians on the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he said to his disciples, "This bread is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us eat together. We are told that in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said to his disciples, he said, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us drink together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts today. God, humble us. Help us, Lord, to lay down anything that is not of you and pick up the cross that we've been asked to carry, God, to follow you and to be faithful to you and to live as you've called us to live. We pray, Lord, that you'd guide us as your children. And so we pray the prayer that you've taught us to pray today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. When I think about all that God has for us, and I think of what he wants for us, desires for us as a community of believers, as having unity together, so many times we tend to make excuses about our lives. We reason out things. We say, "That's not for me. That's for the next guy." And we try to justify our choices. So I thought to kick this off because as I was talking to a few people this week and they had asked me, "What's your sermon on?" And I said, "Sin." And they said, "Does anyone know this?" I said, yeah, I think so. He said, well, do you think anyone will show up? I said, well, I hope so. So I thought this would be a very good video. Lisa brought this to my attention. Be a good one to kick it off as to why we reason things out. Listen to this little boy.
Because, hold on, you said your tummy, you have a tummy ache or no?
Yeah.
Did you have a tummy ache? So you can't eat chocolate?
No, Daddy, I only have a tummy ache for this. It's the reason.
Oh, so the tummy ache is only for this.
Yeah,
but only. You can eat that, so you can still eat that.
Yeah. Oh. It's the reason.
So you can't eat this?
Yeah.
You can?
It's the reason. No.
No, you can't?
I said this reason.
That's just the reason?
Yeah, that's the reason.
What's the reason?
The reason is I have a tummy ache with this, but not that. That's the reason.
Okay, so your lunch gave you a tummy ache?
Yeah. Because I ate too much, so I need that. It'll make my tummy ache go away.
This chocolate here will make your tummy ache go away?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
What if it makes it worse?
It's not worse.
It's not possible?
No, not possible.
Are you sure? And you're not tricking me?
I'm sure, and I'm not tricking you.
Promise?
Promise. Okay. Pinky promise.
Okay.
Pinky promise.
Isn't that good? We have reasons, don't we? Yeah. Well, today is part 5 of our sermon series on community and unity. And I left the word sin out of there just to make you ask, what is it and what isn't it? It's what it is and what it isn't. The sin is a lot of things, and it's kind of confusing for some people. They don't understand what sin is. And maybe you're saying, oh great, he's going to beat us up again today. Or maybe if you're listening at home, you've already turned me off and you're in the kitchen making toaster strudel. Or you're starting to have lunch. Or maybe you're just curious enough to stay and listen to this sermon on sin. I hope you choose that option if you're listening at home. Sin is an important thing to talk about and to understand, because there's a lot of confusion in our world today. What is sin? What isn't sin? What sin is and what it does. And just to give you a heads up, we're going to talk about a lot of scripture today, so I'm just encouraging, if you're at home listening, I encourage you to get a notebook or some paper and get a pen ready. And there's going to be a lot of scriptures that you're going to want to jot down, hopefully. Because I believe it is really, really important that we understand what sin is, what it is, and what it does. What it is and what it isn't. And so to begin with, it's safe to say that the most ultimate and severe consequence of sin is this right here. First half of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? The wages of sin is death not only speaks about a physical death, it also speaks about a spiritual death. It speaks about eternal separation from God. And when I think of that, I can't even wrap my mind around being out of God's care or out of his hand. I don't think we have any idea how devastating that separation could be. Imagine with me for just 1 minute of what it would be like if God says, okay, hands off, Satan, have your way with them for 1 minute. What kind of chaos would we see? What kind of terror would we see? What kind of frustration, when I think of all that is going on right now with this virus that is going on, I think of, imagine that here without God's hand and protection. But I'm here today to encourage you, because I know God is bigger than all of this. And I know there's a lot of anxiety and frustration and a lot of just unknowns right now. But God is bigger than all of that. Isaiah 59:2 talks about the separation that we were talking about. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. From that, you can easily see that sin actually messes with your communication with God. Imagine the damage and the devastation and the ugliness of sin if Satan had his way with us. And yet so many people believe that God is so loving, that he's so loving that he just simply overlooks sin, that he just looks the other way. He turns the other cheek and would most definitely not consider these small, insignificant sins. The ones in my life, like you can imagine, like lying, cheating, maybe a little bit of coveting, a little bit of gossiping, a little bit of lusting, compromising on sin in the name of love. These little sins are surely not worth of death, you could say to yourself, or not even, they're probably not even sin at all. And about a few hundred years ago, I could not pick a date as to when this originated. I saw it first in the 1500s, thought in the 1300s. But it was a few hundred years ago, the world came up with this word right here. Peccadilloes. Did I say that right? Peccadilloes? Peccadilloes are defined as small sins, insignificant, minor offenses. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said in regards to these peccadilloes, he said, besides, the world loves a spice of wickedness. That's the world we're living in. Webster's dictionary says, in referring to peccadilloes, is why some people just explain away why boys will be boys. Youthful foolishness, lapses of judgment, childhood mistakes, and little things that really are not that big of a deal, right? They're surely not sin. They're just moments of peccadilloes. Make it sound pretty good. It sounds almost like a little pet that you carry around. It gives you all kinds of excuses, lots of reasons as to why you don't eat all the good stuff for you instead of you want all the desserts. But what has happened is that the world has gone soft on sin. And sadly, that softness, that compromise of sin, has actually wormed its way into the church, and that's sad. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died for that. What a slap in the face of God, thinking that he sent his son to die for us, so we are going soft on sin now. It's really not that big of a deal. The reason, as that little boy was talking about, is that people chase after their feelings instead of after the Holy Spirit. And some people, even church leaders today, are saying, did God really say that? When I say those words, what comes to your mind? For me, it put me right back in the garden. And Satan whispering those words to Eve, did God really say that? The truth about sin, according to God's word, not Webster's, not Longfellow, not the world, is that sin is sin. Big or small, it's still sin, and it causes separation from God. That's what God's word says. And while it is true that God loves us, because that's what we hear all the time, God is love, as he's defined as that, and that's true. But in his holiness, in God's holiness that we talked about a couple weeks ago, he doesn't tolerate sin. Holy is holy. Sin is sin. They don't go together. They don't compromise. God's standard of holiness didn't change with the coming of Jesus. I've even heard that argument. Well, Jesus paid for my sin, so then I get to go out and live any way I want to because he covered a multitude of sins. Isn't that crazy how Satan takes scripture and corrupts it and whispers it in the ears of people in this world that they begin to believe that that must be right. That sounds so good. God is love. Jesus paid all sins for all sins. So then we get to live however we want. That is a lie from Satan. Holy is holy and sin is sin. Look at what the prophet Habakkuk said about God's holiness and sin. Speaking of God, he says, you are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot look on wickedness. And then I thought of Jesus on the cross, and I thought there was a time when Jesus cries out. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I just think of God turning his back, not even being able to look at his son, because he was bearing all the sin that belonged to us. So much sin that God could not even look at it. God doesn't ignore sin. He doesn't tolerate it. He paid dearly for it. But as God's children, as I think about this, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit when we come to him. And yet we still struggle with sin, don't we? God deals with it in a holy and righteous and loving way in our lives. He doesn't want us to stay in the sin pattern that we once used to be in. I know each one of us could look at our lives and say, how could God actually love us? I remember, and I shared this once before, my boss in Moorhead, when I shared Christ with him. And he was an atheist, and he wanted to come, and he asked, what's different about you? And then I told him about my faith in Jesus Christ and my love, and he said, I could never do that. I've sinned too much. There's no amount of sin that God cannot take care of. And it reminded me of an old saying that someone used to tell me, God knows everything about us, and he loves us anyway. Praise God for that. We were told by Paul that we have a sin nature, and this is where I would encourage you to get ready to write. We are born with it. Even as Christians, it is our human tendency to sin. When sin came into the garden, it said all of creation began to groan. We read that in Romans. All of creation has been groaning inwardly. It affected every one of us, everything in this world. The original sin that came in. When we are born in sin. We're born with it, even as Christians. It's our human tendency to sin. Did you know that? That's our tendency. But Paul says to us in Galatians 5, 16 and 17, he says, so I say, he says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sin nature. Let me add to that and say that is in you and in me. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another, so that you do not do what you want. Can't you hear the battle that's just going on? It's going on inside us. Paul then goes on to tell us about what our sin nature is like, and he says that beginning in verse 19, chapter 5 of Galatians. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're obvious. We shouldn't miss this. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Pretty direct forward. Pretty obvious, no room for compromise. Paul also tells us that there are consequences to sin. He says to the Galatians, he says, don't be deceived. And you could say that to us, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to displease his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Paul told the Galatians, and he told us as Christians, that our sin nature desires what is contrary to what the Spirit desires. They're basically in conflict. In Ephesians, we also hear about from Paul about what happens when people without Christ indulge in sin. He says to the Ephesians, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." He's referring to the unbelievers. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Doesn't that tell us then that desiring sin leads you to desiring more sin? Sin breeds a hunger for more. More sin, more darkness, more impurity, with a lust for more. And people who live like that, even their sensitivity to sin begins to disappear. And their conscience becomes dull and they become spiritually blind to the truth of God's word. Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, "A man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God." In other words, those without Christ. "For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Did you ever wonder why some people just don't get it? You wonder why the people look at us as Christians and they think they're strange. They're weird. They're a little different. I don't see what they see. There's a reason, as the little boy said. You know, when the things of God become foolishness, that's a dangerous place to be. So when we started this message, we only looked at the first half of Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That'd be terrible if we were just left there. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. See, it's not such a bad sermon, is it? Jesus paid our debt, every bit of it. There's nothing left to pay when you're in Christ. Your sins are forgiven and the debt is paid in full. That's not to our credit, that's to God. That's the gift through his son, Jesus Christ. But as Christians, the fact is we still struggle with sin. And even though we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, we still wrestle every single day with this tendency, we are told, to sin. Even Paul wrote how he struggled with sin, but he also told the Galatians that if they would live by the Spirit, they would not gratify the desires of the flesh. That sounds like the key to me, that we live by the Spirit. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. When I think of that, it leads me right to the passage in Galatians 5. And we hear what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is what we should draw from. This is that bowl that we should want on the table, not the other bowl. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's what's in the Holy Spirit's bowl. That's what's available to us. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Pretty incredible words. But how do we keep in step with the Spirit when we have this tendency to sin? Scripture again. God bless us that God has given us so much Scripture to pull and draw from. We are told that we are to seek God first in everything. That's how we do it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount from our Lord and Savior. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Wouldn't that be the most wonderful prayer that you could ever pray for your kids or grandkids? God, make them hungry and thirsty for you. Help them not to desire the things of the world, but help them to hunger and thirst for you and your righteousness. I can't imagine a better prayer than to pray that. And again, Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, he says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." We must seek God first. Seek God's kingdom, seek his righteousness, and we are told that all these things then will be added unto you. I think, what are all these things, everything? And as I looked at it and I studied the scriptures ahead of it, it's everything that we need physically, everything that we need spiritually, everything that we need to follow after the will of God, to live by the Spirit and not gratify the desires of the flesh. I'd like to leave you with just three simple verses of God's word on sin. We heard them earlier. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Have you ever heard someone say, "I've never sinned, so I don't need a savior"? You ever heard that? If we claim we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It's just plain that you do not have the Spirit. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. Romans 3:21-24. And we hear about a righteousness from God. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. There are five very distinct things that came to my mind as I was studying and researching for this message for today. And when I look up what sin is in the original text, and it says, you miss the mark. You're missing the mark. When you sin, you're missing the mark. We all fall short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. Every single one of us. Another thing that came out so clearly to me is the amazing gift of God's mercy. Not getting something we deserve, which is eternal death. The wages of sin is death, plain and simple. But out of God's mercy, we are not getting that when we are in him. Instead, we receive God's forgiveness when we repent and when we come to him for all our sins. What a gift. We miss the mark, yet in God's mercy, when he draws us to himself, he calls us to repentance, and he offers forgiveness and this beautiful thing that we call grace. God just gave us something that we don't deserve at all, do we? Instead, we get this salvation only through God's Son, Jesus Christ. We are told in Acts 4:12 that salvation comes no other way. No other way other than faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We can't add to it. But God did this for us, and he offered it to us freely. And what is ours? What is our place to be? We are to believe it. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, that's a big deal. That God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. I didn't put it on a slide. Romans 8, 1 and 2. I would encourage you to write it down. Dwell on it this week. Memorize it. Paul writes, he says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. I wish we could wrap our mind around what that death would be like and what we are being saved from. We serve an amazing God. We have an amazing Savior who's offered us amazing grace, and that's a perfect way to end our time together today. I'm going to ask the praise team to come up, and I'm going to ask you all to stand, and we're going to do the first verse. It's just going to be guitars and dobro, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace, all four verses, but the first verse we're going to just listen to the first verse. Can I give you someone the clicker? Oh, there we are. Thank you. I want you to really concentrate on the words of this song. Concentrate on every word of it. Make it personal and realize what God has done for you today.
Appear.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your amazing grace. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we don't understand that kind of love, Lord, but we pray right now that you would just reveal to us your love, your holiness, why sin is such a big deal, Lord. Help us not to mess with it. Help us not to compromise. Help us not to think of it, Lord, as small and insignificant, but something that separates us from you. And help us to stay in step with the Spirit and not gratify the desires of our flesh. And we pray that all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.